you would, using just a simple illustration, God started back here, Genesis 1:1, and history unfolds. And all history books, you go to the next page, just the way it is. It's history. The outworking of history. Now, in the outworking, it's just happening, just like that. Hang on to that thought. Over to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah and chapter 5. And you would recall, if you are, pick up, verse 23. Remember, Israel is Judah, Jerusalem, in the south. The 10 tribes in the north have been in captivity for a long time. And Judah and Jerusalem are down there in the bottom, from 586 to 722. 722 to 586. And so here they are down here, and they're waiting. Nebuchadnezzar, they have been told, Josiah the king at the moment, Nebuchadnezzar's coming. Babylon is coming. It was foretold long before. If they weren't not going to get their heart right, and the enemy is going to come and discipline Israel. So Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and the heart of the people, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Habakkuk and Daniel, they're all banging away. But no one's listening. Their heart is set. And that helps us to understand God's words and what he says. So in chapter 5, picking up the momentum here, thus, verse 23, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolting and gone. They are not interested in any way, shape, or form of fixing, changing, no matter what. They're gone. Now, having said that, back over to, and remember verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Now, they don't want to see, they don't want to hear, they don't want to understand. That's their mood. That is the mood of Israel when they crucify Christ. They didn't want to see, they didn't want to hear, they didn't want to understand. And they crucify Christ, just like that. Everything was against doing that if they paid attention. They're going to do it anyway. Now, here in chapter 5, we pick up where we were last time. Verse 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence? Now, and we share together the word fear, to be reverenced, to esteem highly, to have a healthy, awesome awe of God, to reverence God, to tremble. And they didn't fear. They did not have a reverence for God. And if you go back, remember, do it all the way back in history, all the God's word, God's presence. What do you want from us, God? I want you to respect, reverence, honor the Creator. The only God, the only Savior, honor me. You're the created. Don't confuse all of creation about who the Creator is. You reverence me, one and all. So there's no confusion. Any way you look, everyone's going to honor me. Birds, bugs, bees, you are going to honor me. So fear God, fear him. A healthy reverence for God. And then we have the word in verse 22. You will you not tremble? Remember to shake, to bend, to turn, to twist. Be in a state of mental stretch. It would be used of pain in childbirth. Pain, travail. Will you will you not tremble at my presence? Here I am, and we keep reminding ourselves we're in the presence of God, so we have to learn that. You aren't going to feel it. You aren't going to smell it. It's just true. So I have to keep going over and over and over until that is so set in my mind. Just as I know dust is in the air. You don't have to have dust in my hand. I know there's thousands of particles of dust right now in the air. So do you. If I tell you that, some of you say no dust. But there is dust. Thousands and thousands, millions and millions. I know that. I don't have to argue. I know it. And it's set in my mind and heart, locked in. I want to lock in God's wonderful person and presence. Boom! Locked in, just like dust. The sound waves, television, bacteria, neutrons, electrons, photons, and all the other tons. Boom! Here they are. I don't argue with that. That's real. I need to understand, get God like that in my mind. Now, and thus, will you not tremble, shake. And remember, it's a play on words we shared last time. Because the word sand, coal, and the word tremble, cool, coal. Play on words. To tremble. What does sand do? Sand shakes. That's how it survives. Rocks on the ocean don't, when the water hits them, it wears them away. Don't wear sand away. Sand laterally goes back and forth. It doesn't wear out, as it were. Now, and I forgot to bring my sand, so you'll have to remember the sand I had last time. White sand, little sand, and a heavier sand, etc. And I know, anyway. So, in the process, to tremble at my word, to tremble. And so God is going to help the people. And in the process, in verse 22, fear ye not, saith the Lord, will you not tremble at my presence, in the light of my personal presence and face, which you ought to understand, which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual decree. So, and we share together in the light of that, that God has gone and taken sand, simple sand. And if you take sand and put it in your hand, it goes right through your sand. You say, where's the power of sand? Where's the strength of sand? It goes, runs right through your fingers, drops off. Sand, boy, you lose it, and you rub your fingers to get the sand off. Wow. It's very light. The wind blows it. It's very weak. It's a symbol of weakness. Weakness. Sand has no power. God takes in his wonderful word and tells Israel, remember, they were at the Red Sea, and God wonderfully just opened it like that. They were at the Jordan River, and God wonderfully stopped it for 25 miles. It just stopped. The whole thing was open. They can go. Did you learn anything about what I do with water? Remember, 70% of the earth, thereabouts, is water. Water, the most powerful force on the face of the earth, natural. Now, in the light of that, God is going to, will you not tremble at my presence? Well, I want you to know, here I have placed sand that trembles, goes back and forth, it shakes. I want you to know that I have taken sand, ordinary little sand particles, and I've taken them, and I have made them a perpetual decree. I have stopped the great oceans, the Atlantic, the Pacific, and all of them. I've taken the great oceans, and I hold them in place with sand. I hold them in place. And all the storms and all the roaring and all the uproar, and the ocean's still there. Hasn't moved. Sand comes and goes, but there it is. And there it stops. There it sits. And the ocean is bound. God said, I bound the ocean with sand. I did it. Now, you want to remember about the ocean. The ocean, well, I'll pick it up in just a bit. And so God made the ocean, and he made the power. How does he control? How does he bound the sea and limit its boundaries? He does it by sand, and thus it cannot pass by. It cannot pass by. A phenomenon. We would have never thought of doing that, using sand, but God did. Sand. Now, in the process of that, and I made the sand the sea's limit. So it limits the sea. The ancient boundaries it cannot pass by. And so God, here you are looking, and you've taken the sea and nature, and you've borne witness to your power in all kinds of ways. And you are steadfast, steady in what you do and when you do it. And thus, God, here's the ocean out there roaring away, and the big storms come and tsunamis come and all kinds of things come, but nothing happens. When it's all done, water retreats back to its boundary where it belongs. And so, God, here we are looking. And since water is liquid, it only has to be held in place in order to be retained, restrained. And the secret is God. God holds the water in place by simply having sand as its boundary. And thus, in the process, in verse 22, for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it, though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. So no matter what the storm, no matter what, how bad anything is, it all comes and roars and can knock down houses and buildings. And it goes back to where it belongs. It retreats. It can't pass over that. Can't go beyond that. So now, we share together to stand in awe of God. That's what you want us to do. That's what Israel wouldn't do. Stand in awe of God. Tremble. Tremble. Tremble at God. Now, we'll pick it up in a minute in that. And so, over, if you would, please. Well, let me do something. Psalm 4. Psalm 4. We said it, so I might as well look at it. Psalm 4, and may I pick up, please, David's going to help us, verse 4. 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Stop and allow that to sink into your heart. Selah. Think about it. When you're in bed at night, you can't do anything. Just lay there and just understand that everything, history's moving, everything's moving. But it only, everything is bound. God says, I want you to know that. I want you to know, I want you to tremble at me. I want you to be struck with awe. I want you to be inspired by who I am. I want you to be, the word, fear, excited to astonishment is the word. Excited to astonishment. The word stupendous. Wow. Wonder. God, I said, I want you to be excited about me. And I use the sea to give you a simple illustration that everyone in the world can understand if they want to. Why doesn't the huge water pass over? And they're worried about an ice cube up there in Alaska, the North Pole melting and coming down and drowning New York or something. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about that. It's global warming. No, global cooling. Now I want to finish because that's a great psalm. David, Be still upon your bed, Selah. Now, and I'll read it very quickly. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Who's going to do that? Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. God, you are good. Show us you are a good God. Verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increases. When they have big celebrations, David said, when I'm on my bed at night, laying there, and there's no not a lot of noise, hooray, a lot of stuff going on. Nothing's going on, except something wonderful's going on. I'm struck with awe at who you are. Wonder of wonders. Now, the end, verse 8. Now I will now lay me down in peace, sleep, and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. And you know, that's the little prayer. I don't know, everyone has what they do. But years ago, when I was a little boy, that was the first thing, a little boy, and I always had to kneel down by my bed. Never could go to bed unless I kneeled down by my bed. And that's what I did, little boy. And I learned, right, because I was in the Methodist church, you can't expect a lot. And in the Methodist church, why we say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I never forgot it. And I haven't prayed that up front for a long time. Do you understand? That's where that comes from. That's where that comes from. Now, God, here we are looking, and David said Israel ought to be in awe. But you know they aren't in awe of God at all. And we shared together that God goes in his most wonderful way, and our strength is made perfect in weakness, as we did in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Now, the grains of sand, what do? Well, they are unresisting. They don't resist. And they are very small grains of sand. And they, as we mentioned, they are the symbol of weakness. And a little gust of wind blows the sand in the desert and everywhere up into the air all over the place. And so God, in his wonderful way, secures his wonderful purposes with things that cause us to say, it couldn't happen, but it did. God takes weakness and takes all of the wisdom of man and makes it foolish. And God does what he does in all kinds of ways. And there is no way to explain it except God. But we don't want to really think about it, because then we have to deal with God. And since sand resists the encroachment of the sea, it's in sand, but it won't let the water pass. Don't let the water pass. Sand has enormous resistance, or resisting power, sand does. And as it beats, we share together the reason it does what it does, because it goes laterally back and forth and all that. Rocks, big rocks, wear out, etc. And the waves have, as we said again, an impassable barrier. They can't get by. So now here's Israel. What are they doing? Well, they're going over in Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 57. You'll pick up the thought. In Isaiah 57, you would allow me to pick up a little bit of the context, verse 19. I create the fruit, Isaiah 57, verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, to him that is near, saith the Lord. I offer you peace. I will heal him. But, if you're going to be rebellious and stubborn and revolt, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, Israel, what are you reflecting? You're reflecting what the whole world's doing. The whole world is in rebellion against God. And here you are rebelling. You should know better. You should know better. You are like the troubled sea. And the sea does whatever it does, but it can't pass the sand. I want you to know that all that your pride does, all the troubled heart, making trouble for the world, trouble and do what you want, you will not pass where I will not let you go. All of your pride and all of your pompousness is stopped. Like I stopped the sea. And all of the trouble, and here's the pages again turning, and we watch nation rise up and nation rise down, and things happen and things don't happen, and they go on, God. And this one says, this page says, I'm going to last forever. But then God what? Turns it. And this one says, no, no one's going to stop me doing what I do. But it turns, and it turns, and nothing stays. And all the world would like to do what it does. Do you know, over in Jeremiah 30, in Jeremiah chapter 30, may I pick up directly, if I can, you know there's a great tribulation coming up. Israel is in trouble with the world. The world's in trouble with God and Israel. And God is going to make trouble, but it's all restrained. You know the Lord said a thousand ways to illustrate it. If I didn't shorten the seven years. If I didn't shorten the seven-year tribulation, the whole thing would be in great trouble. I only had Noah and the world. I didn't give them 350 years. I gave them but 120. That's all. I have limits on everything. Limits. All of it has limits. Now, and here in Jeremiah 30, alas, for that day is a great day, looking at the tribulation coming up for Israel, that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. You're going to save Israel out of that. That's right. But I want you to know, there's a limit. There's a limit to everything. When you think there's no limit, there is a limit. And one of the problems, remember, you got in your study in Ecclesiastes is, you know, though a sinner live 100 years and you live 30, the sinner win. No, the sinner never wins. The wicked never win. Time is but little like this. Eternity is like this. And you're talking a little bit of time. And what I allow in a little bit of time is for good reason. I always give enough time for everything. Thus, in the light of that. Verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, Babylon. And Jacob shall return to the land, and it shall be in rest, and be in quiet, and none shall make it afraid. Why not? Verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord. For what reason? To save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, wherever you're gone, Israel, with all the nations of the world, they're all going to come to an end. I will scatter thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will leave thee altogether, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. You're going to be punished. But there's a limit. There's a limit. A limit. 40 lashes, but no, not 41. Wow. You're going to get it. And you're going to have terrible. But I'm going to make sure Israel is going to survive. There's always going to be an Israel. That's the rule. So I'm going to do it, but cheer up. There's always going to be a remnant and Israel. Now, so in the light of that, keeping that in mind, and you would know if you went over to Luke 21, you don't have to turn there. The Lord said, here comes Titus, is going to destroy Jerusalem again. Wow, like nobody other did. Titus is going to knock it down, and they're going to get scattered like they never did in 70 A.D. Now, when they did, God, you know what he said. And then he moves you right, 21, he moves you right from that, Titus, to the tribulation. And you look at the tribulation. And what are they going to do? The world is in perplexity. The world is trying to figure it out. They're in trouble. But they can't get out of the trouble. They're in trouble with God. And without yielding to God, the trouble stays. And they can't get out of it. There's no escape to run away from God, to hide from God, to make God go away. God, you don't go away. No, he doesn't. No. And he said, I wish you'd understood that as I have control and restraint on the oceans by simple grains of sand, that I have restraint and power over everything in your life. Everything in your life. Do you understand? That's a sober, magnificent illustration. God. Wow. Power. And here's the world around me, all troubling, going all different directions, God. And the world rages against you, God, trying to get rid of you with full vigor, vinegar going, wow. And the clay challenges the sovereign will of the potter, yeah. And the creature, in time denies the creator. And in time, we try to tackle eternity. And we try to take a moment of time and shake our fist at eternity. But you can't touch it. You can't touch it. Oh, foolish one. Foolish one. You're going to hit me. You're going to stop. Oh, dummy. That's my word. Man's pride rises up against God's person. His perfect person. And we're going to go and strike a blow from down below. We're going to strike a blow from down below. We are government. We are power. We are. And our pride seeks to take from our little throne and gotta get God. And God, you didn't do anything, so we must be all right because you didn't stop us. So God, here we are, looking to you, and you have to go, and the devil tried to overrule and overturn all that you were doing, and you went to the cross. The devil told you not to go to the cross by way of Peter, etc., and then since you wouldn't pay attention, you were going to go to the cross anyway, so we went with great vigor to make sure you got to the cross. We made sure you died. We did that. Wow. And God, you know what? We thought we were winning, but we were losing. And of all the different windows to look through, and God, what did you tell us when you were there? When you were there. Wow. I could have called a legion of angels. I only needed one of them. A legion of angels and wiped you all out. Just like that. But I didn't do it. Father, forgive them for they want. They know not what they do. Wow. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Jeremiah chapter 33. You're right next door, maybe still. Chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, may pick up, please, in verse 22. And what I want to catch up, I don't make a full end, and I'm going to do what I do. And Israel, you're surely going to be in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. It's going to happen. So now, chapter 33, Jeremiah, verse 22, God, give us some help. As the host of heaven, verse 22, cannot be numbered. All the stars, billions and trillions of galaxies, let alone stars. Neither the sand of the sea measured. Remember the sand, you couldn't count. If I just had the grains of sand up here that I had last week, you wouldn't even want to have to count them. You'd be busy counting them. And hopefully you didn't make a miscount because it's so small. Wow. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. I'm going to do that. As the sand of the sea, I'm going to go. And I'm going to go, Israel, what are you revolting for? Don't you know I'm going to work it out? But you guys are going to lose out because you're rebelling and revolting. But Israel in the future will not. Verse 23, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, consider thou not that this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off? Question. Thus have they despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before him. We've got them. We eliminated. We're going to eliminate the Jew like Haman. We did on Sunday. We're going to eliminate him. And then God says, I want you to know something before you have to know about me. Verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, which I made, Genesis 1, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, all the stars, the sun, moon, stars, everything is in order, always in order, always. You go to bed and the world's turning, and tomorrow the sun's going to be up there, and you'd be really surprised if the sun doesn't get up there. It's always going to be there. No matter who's on earth, the sun and the moon, everything's going to be there. It's my way. Now, and thus, since that's true, then will I, if you can eliminate the sun, the moon, the stars, you can eliminate them and tell them to go away, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. I want you to know, because the sun, moon, and stars are not going to go away, and neither is Israel, period. So there's no sense in trying to make it go away and say we're Israel, as some do. That isn't true. Israel is a nation. Has to be. And God said, I'm going to keep my word. I told you that the ruler out of the tribe of David, are going to rule over Israel in the future. You can count on it. Just as you can count on the stars. So if you're going to say that you're going to overcome, the ocean's going to overcome the sand, Israel's going to overcome, the nations of the world, the devil's going to overcome Israel. No, they aren't. No, not at all. Now, so what do we need to do? Well, we need to go. And God is God's wonderful order and his way are going to survive. And we need to surrender to God. We need to yield. Israel, surrender. That means yield. Yield. You aren't going to change it. Another simple thing. If you were going to go and change right now, and I asked you to go outside, you could do it inside, but outside, I want you to defy in your rebellion, in your proud, powerful person, I want you to defy the law of gravity right now. You ready? Anyone can do it. We'll all look. We're waiting for you just to get up. Just float. You don't have to hit the ceiling. Just go up about 20 feet. I'm ready. I'm waiting. You have no thought of ever defying gravity. And yet we have thoughts of defying God, as if we're going to make God go away. God isn't going to go away. And it's going to be. And the lesson, the sand, as the sand binds the sea from its power and its and restraint, God restrains all the wickedness of men. And the wickedness of men would like to do. So therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to surrender to it. We surrender to gravity, therefore, and by the way, if you were up in an airplane or something, I know you wouldn't. You would surrender to the law of gravity and surrender to the law of aerodynamics, and you'd stay put in the plane. You wouldn't open the door of a plane and jump out, would you? And say, I'm going to defy gravity. No, you aren't. You're going to come down, and gravity will say hello when you hit bottom. Now, in the process of all of that, so we need to surrender. We need to. God, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. So I'm going to surrender. I'm going to submit. God, your character and conduct is beyond that question. I don't need to have it. I don't need to challenge it, debate it, dialogue, whatever. I don't need to do that. And I'm going to go, God, and surrender and serve you. I'm going to honor you, God. I'm not going to fight God. The world is going to fight God. Unbelief is going to fight God. Atheism is going to fight God. Religion is going to fight God. But I'm not going to fight God. I'm not fighting him. And God does a wonderful thing, you know. God takes a man. Remember Pharaoh. And Pharaoh could have honored God. But Pharaoh was told to let the people of Israel go. And what did his heart do? His heart got what? Very hard. And it got harder. And every time God asked him again, and he did little plagues, some big plagues to wake him up. He wasn't going to change. He says, I don't know the Lord. Oh, he does now. But he didn't know the Lord. He said, I'm not going to change. And his heart got very hard. And he defied God. He said, I can overcome the Red Sea. And when he went through the Red Sea, of course, the Red Sea did what? It overcame him. I mean, and his army, a huge army. Wow. So now in the process of that, looking, here's Saul of Tarsus, Peter on Acts 9, and Saul is out to help God. He's going to get rid of the Christianity in the light of Judaism in order to the Christians and Jesus are an enemy to our religious system. What do you want to save your religious system for? Don't you want rightness? What do you care about religion? I just want it right. I thought so. Don't you want that? You should say that in your head. I just want right. I just want it right. I'm not interested in any other system. I just want to know what is right. And that's what I'm going to go for. Regardless. Now, so in the here's Saul of Tarsus, and that's what he wanted, a very zealous person. And you know what happened? Of course, God stopped him on the Damascus Road, and Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. And God, what'd you do? You restricted him and put him in a corner, and he responded. He didn't fight you. He could have fought. Others did, but he didn't. He did. He yielded. He yielded to God. That's all it took. He just surrendered and submitted and was willing to, God, you're God. I'm not going to fight you anymore. I didn't understand. I didn't know. So now, over if you would, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And you know, God was looking, and Israel's problem was they had no heart, of course. And God told them that they, and he told us and them, is to seek the Lord with all our what? With all our heart. We seek the Lord with all our heart. And in the process, we do that with all our heart, because you aren't going to overcome your old nature, the world system, and the devil. You aren't going to beat any of those. You have to have another way to win. And you can't do it. You are not like the sand of the sea. And you can control it. You're very weak. And the powers that be around you trample over you. Your old nature, the world system, the devil tramples all over you. Wow. Now, we don't win. We don't win. We think we can be nice today and tomorrow, but that's our old nature. We're playing with it. We don't want to do that. We want to win. We want to win in a good way. So here, 1 Samuel chapter 25, picking up, and you would keep in mind that God was looking at the heart. That's what David with heart. Solomon, Saul, King Saul, was proud. David was humbled to humble God, and he trusted God. So now, here in First Samuel 25, and keeping in mind, if you would, over in, a little bit of background, not a lot, but remember Nabal was going, I can do that much for you, over in chapter 25, verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants and said, remember David came, has all his men with him, they're hungry, they're tired, and they have protected Nabal's, Nabal was rich, and they protected him from the Arabs, etc., from taking the sheep and the grain, and they turned around to Nabal and said, listen, we did that for you. We aren't going to attack you. We just want you to go. And would you allow us to take some food and water? We'll pay for it. And Nabal says, nothing to it. Watch. 25 and verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jehu? Is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now a day's that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? And he refused to give him. David got very mad. And he was going to turn around and take it anyway and clobber Nabal. Yeah. But Abigail came along, his wife, and she said, no, he's a stoop. And he's Nabal, worthlessness. That's what he is. He's a worthless, weightless man. My husband is. So don't pay attention to him. Let me do all of this for you. And she did. And you know what? David didn't touch him. And didn't touch his sheep or anything. David was gracious. Account of her. But what's interesting in the light of our little study, I think, is her statement. You know it. 1 Samuel 25. And if I can, in verse 29. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. David, they're after you. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling, like a slingshot. Wow. God is going to take you, David, she said. David, you're God's man, and you're trusting God, if you read the context, you're trusting God. And I want you to know that God is going to go and bundle you up, package you, protect you. And all this stuff is out against you. That's right. But be of good cheer, David. God has gone and put you, verse 29, bound you in the bundle of life. God has locked you up just like you would. I don't have... this is a clean tissue, so be of good cheer. And here's my gold watch. Now, very valuable. Now, do you remember when you were little? And one of the things you did, I'll try it. When we went to school and stuff, your mother would give you a quarter for lunch or something. For the day, and what did she say to do? We'd go and wrap it in our hanky. Remember? You put it in your hanky and tie it up and put it in your pocket. So you're going to bundle it up and carry it so you don't lose the quarter. And you go. And the quarter is protected because you bundled it up and put it in safety. What are you saying, Abigail? God has bundled you up in his heart and packaged you. If we were reading Colossians 3:3, your life is hid where? With God in Christ. He's packaged you up. Israel, don't you realize that? You're trying to be loose and fancy free to do what you want. And don't you know there's a limit? I'm only going to let you go so far. I'm only going to let the world go so far. So I wish you'd tremble at my word, at my presence, and honor me. That's what I wish you'd do. The ocean, the sand, the ocean honors the sand. Why can't you honor the sovereign Savior God? Why can't you honor him? See, simple, not a big deal. You don't have to be brilliant. Just be a little kid. I understand. Ocean, sand, me, God, here we are. Wow. God, you're going to bundle us up, and you're going to what? You're going to take the heart of the believing believer, and you're going to put them in your heart. And then you're going to go and take your heart in Christ and put it in the heart of the believer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with what? All your heart. God. Wow. You mean to tell me, God, you're going to keep me like this? And in the meantime, I'm going to house you. Mystery of mysteries. Wow. Mystery of godliness. Wow. You got the idea? Oh, dummies. Not you. Why didn't you learn? I hold the oceans with simple grains of sand. And all the world is held. And then you're sitting there getting afraid and wondering about all the things. And if the Lord tarries, we'll do that next time to see it. Of all the things that could happen. God said, what are you afraid of? What on earth are you afraid of? You see. Wow. Anyway, so hope that helps a little bit. Perhaps you have a particular request. Remember the regional conference coming up, if you would. Remember those that are sick, weak.